Praise the Lord for how God has used Brother Tom, and I thank God for the miracle of open doors. Lately, I've been seeing open doors like I've never seen open doors. God gave me strength last week to be, the week before last now, to be in about 14 different assembly programs, and God gave me strength for 50 games, and there were 200 saved on the final night. And if one is saved, it's worth the whole thing, isn't it? And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about this week because God can do some amazing things. Go to Matthew chapter 9, and I want to speak to you a very interesting subject this morning. And the title of this is found in this passage in Matthew 9:10. And by the way, how many believe at the rally we still should get the preacher to play me one-on-one? What do you think? He walks by faith, doesn't he? Thank you for bringing me back here. I appreciate it. And if I get tired, I'm just going to have him be my substitute. How does that sound? Matthew 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Did you see that? Sinners sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, that was their attitude, wasn't it? They said unto the disciples, why eateth your, now probably they said, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. How many are glad Jesus did this or we wouldn't be here? Father, I pray you'll help us to get this truth so clearly that being a friend of sinners is not a gimmick. Help us to hear this loud and clear today. And I pray it'll start this meeting off in a way that we will be so consumed with what you're consumed about. And that's sinners coming to yourself. And that's what it's all about. That's why you left heaven and came down to earth. Help us to really, really understand this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's amazing. Three messages came to me recently from three different churches that said, we don't want to have that type of thing because we don't believe in gimmicks. And then I thought of something. I thought of this. When Jesus was a friend of sinners, it was not a gimmick, because the definition of gimmick is something that is not serious or of a real value, just used to attract people's attention. But wait a minute. If it's not serious or of a real value, then why did Jesus leave heaven, come down to earth, take off his three-piece suit and tie, humble himself, and eat among publicans and sinners? You know why? Because being a friend of sinners is real. How many are glad it's real? And I want to talk to you today on this subject, that it's not a gimmick to be a friend of sinners. Now, go back to that verse again where it said that so loud and clear to us. After they criticized him, he said, I will have mercy. Have we forgotten, Father, forgive them? Have we forgotten, he that is without sin cast the first stone? Have we forgotten the woman at the well was led into God's family? Have we forgotten the Lord offered her something? But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. This well was for a woman with five husbands. How many are glad there's no hopeless cause? That's why I do what I do. Have we forgotten the cross was meant for a thief? Have we forgotten the statement, Father, forgive them, was for those who brutally tortured God Almighty? Have we forgotten that mercy was great and grace was free? Have we forgotten, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy? Have we forgotten, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life? How many are glad for God's mercy? Say it like Pennsylvania people get excited. I mean, think about that. Have we forgotten that, oh, all you need is God's mercy one time in your life when you fall at the foot of the cross, and it starts a whole life of needing God's mercy. And God shows it and starts that process. But thou, O Lord, art not a God, our God, sorry, full of compassion. Now say the word full. Of what? Compassion. Gracious. Long-suffering. Now listen to this. Plenteous in mercy and truth. Hey, Pharisees, you're criticizing me for sitting down with sinners. May I tell you this is not a gimmick? May I tell you that I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance? For I will have mercy. You have no mercy. All you want to do is show off all your standards, which you think is so wonderful because you tithe and do all those things to look good to men. So in Luke it says, be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. Have we forgotten God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together. How many are glad because of God's mercy we're raised up? We're raised up. And do I want to see people raised up? Do I go from school to school to school because I'm working for a gimmick? Do I go with something that's not important as I sit in front of these sinners? Have we forgotten that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly? Have we forgotten fornicators found mercy? Adulterers found mercy. Adulteresses. Found mercy. That's a hard word. Murderers found mercy. Demon-possessed people found mercy. Persecutors of Christians found mercy. Blasphemers found mercy. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Am I glad for God's mercy? Don't believe in going in all the cesspools, said one guy of these humanistic schools. Why are you going in there? We've preached against them for years. It's not the kids that are the problem. It's the Pharisees that are the problem. It's the people who criticize what this is about. Now, it's amazing. Those who would be quick to call it a gimmick are also quick to point out how bad the schools are and how we've thrown God out of the schools. But boy, I want to tell you something. These young people are writing me unbelievable emails. Was it a gimmick that I received this email? When you came to my school, I was about to end my life. I didn't have anything left to do except take up space in everybody's life. I felt useless. I was going to end my life on my birthday, on the week after you came to my school. I prepared to hang myself with my own computer cord, and it was only a matter of time. And on my birthday, I asked Jesus Christ to save me instead of killing myself. Boy, I want to tell you, that's not a gimmick. That's not something that's not important. How many believe somebody coming to Christ is vital? Another email. Let me tell you about me. I was raped several times when I was 6. My mom was a drug addict, and my dad never wanted me. Mom was 16 when she got pregnant with me, and she was going to get an abortion, but my grandmother wouldn't let her, so she resorted to doing even more drugs during her pregnancy. As a result, I'm blind in my left eye, have multiple heart problems. I just want to say thank you for showing love and care for millions of people you don't even know, and brought the true answer, Jesus Christ, to the problem. Going to this assembly, I didn't know what to think. Before you came, I figured it'd just come another assembly to get me out of class. But instead, God brought you to all these schools to preach the message of change in Christ. This is coming from a young person in public school. And you sure did preach the message I needed to hear. Lately, I've been down thinking, what's the use to life? God sent you to remind all of us that God's plan is bigger. I want to help save people from their dangers. Thank you so much for coming to our school and preaching this message. I was planning my death a few nights ago, and prior to meeting this assembly, I cut my wrist twice Tuesday night. However, I'm not the least bit ashamed to say that I will no longer continue to self-mutilate because of this message. I'm grateful that you came to our school. I'd be gone from this world all my life. I just wanted to find somebody who really cared and that I would not disappear suddenly. And this message showed me that there is hope in Christ, and staying alive is worth it. Boy, this is what it's about. How many would love it if we could get emails like that this week? be wonderful, wouldn't it? I had everything planned out. I was going to get home and take a bunch of pills. But when you came and gave that speech, it made me think of what's ahead for eternity. And Jesus Christ is the answer. And so Philippians 2, God actually humbled himself, who being in the form of God, say that to a Jehovah's Witness or anyone else that's in the cult, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death. And then it says, even the death of the cross, which is my rally message. So if he was willing to come and be bullied by the Roman soldiers, then every 30 seconds a young person is trying to take his life because he got bullied on the internet or at school. And so, needless to say, they come to find out that the God of all creation got bullied for them on the cross in a sadistic way. Not just being called fat, but in a sadistic way. And all of a sudden they find out, wow, that's something amazing. I guess I really don't have to take my life because now I've got a purpose. And that's what it's all about. Was Jesus doing a gimmick? Was God performing a gimmick when he left heaven, came down to earth to eat among sinners? He could have preached to Bob Holmes from heaven, Bob, repent or perish. He could have preached to your pastor, repent or perish. But how many are glad he came down here and lived among us? And so when he came here to live among us, it was not a gimmick. It's a gimmick. No, it's not a gimmick. One guy said, we'd have you, but you're not the typical evangelist. He said, we are used to bringing someone in, putting them in a hotel, and shoving food under the door. just putting them in a hotel. But your thing takes so much work. And then I got thinking about something. I got thinking about something. You know, when you come to that rally, though, and you see the heart. One boy had 600 razor blade cuts on his body, along with 20 others lined up ready to show me all their cuts. Boy, I want to tell you, being a friend of sinners is what this world needs so bad. A principal wanted me to come to a school because of 3 students that were about to kill themselves. This is amazing. I called the church in the area that believes like us. I called up the church and I said, boy, I got amazing news to tell you. God can turn opposition into opportunity because there are 3 students about ready to kill themselves in this school. And I said, boy, I would love to come and be in your area. And he said, well, because with the church, you have a rally and the gospel is preached. It's very difficult to preach during the day because school principals get nervous about the ACLU. Most of them want it, though. Like when I say Christ is my Savior, the principals say, wow, I wish we could say that. I'm glad you did. And that's the attitude all over America, by the way. How many believe there are seeds of revival in America right now? And so I'm seeing it. But you know what's amazing is that in this town with 3 students ready to kill themselves, and the church said, we're not into that kind of stuff. And I thought, what kind of stuff? And I explained to him how I preached the gospel at the rally. Yes, but all these people come out, they fill up the gym, and how many of them really come to church? Well, I felt like saying, but I didn't want to argue, when you go out soul winning, you may knock on 1,000 doors. Well, what if only one comes to church? The 999 weren't worth it then, but I didn't say it. But how many believe Jesus was a friend of sinners? Amen. Say it loud if you believe that. He was a friend of sinners. And the gospel is not a gimmick. One guy, he absolutely was all ripped up in his pants and everything. He came through the door. And he looked like somebody that had been through a dryer. And he started trying to find a seat in the back. And he couldn't find one. And he kept walking forward, and he couldn't find a seat. He got to the front. The whole front was taken. And this was a very wealthy church. There were Lamborghinis in the parking lot, like there is out in this parking lot today. And so he finally couldn't find a seat. So the grubby guy, sat down on the carpet to listen to the preacher. And do you know what happened? all of a sudden, there was a noise in the back of the church, a metal sound. And an 85-year-old deacon, the head of the church, the head of the deacon board, was getting up with his crippled 85-year-old body with his walker to come down the aisle of the church. And I mean, and he was walking, I mean, it was like I looked the other day. And he was walking like this. And I mean, he finally got to the front. And he said, "Would somebody please take my walker?" And they took his walker and set it down. And now he said, "Please help me down." And he sat down next to the guy for the whole sermon. And I thought, that's what Jesus did for us. And the pastor's heart broke. He said, "You've heard me preach many sermons, but you've just seen the greatest sermon." Boy, that's what it's about. Jesus came down to earth. He came down to earth. There was a church in the state of Maine, a church that said they had nine high schools ready to go into, about 10,000 students. The church canceled it. I said, "Why are you canceling? I have a chance to be in front of 10,000. He said, "There won't be enough room in our Sunday school for those who get saved." Can you believe it? May I announce the problem isn't the world, it's the church? And you better say amen now, or I may go 5 hours. Boy, I want you to know the truth is, we have to get our hearts right. Was Jesus filled with gimmicks when God wanted to save man from his sinful ways? He becomes a baby that cries. I read this at a university a few months ago after I played the whole athletic department in a university in Manhattan. I didn't even know where I was. I just knew there was a crowd there. And recently, by the way, I was asked to go. So I got to tell you, I don't know if I told you this when I was here before, but I was asked to go somewhere. I didn't even know where I was going. I was depending on the GPS. Now, may I tell you, don't depend on your GPSs when you try to find a home at 2 a.m. I did that and walked up to the wrong house. I said, "I'm here." "Who are you?" At 2 a.m. But the GPS was taking me somewhere to preach, and I didn't know where it was. And I got to this big place. I thought, "Where's the church?" And it was gigantic, and it was just unbelievable. It was the Grand Ole Opry. And I was able to preach the gospel, and several got saved. And the theme of my message there at the Grand Ole Opry is God became flesh and dwelt among us. And so, was that a gimmick? When God wanted to save humanity from its sinful ways, he becomes a baby that cries. Jesus. God in the flesh. So I'm reading this at the university after I played volleyball. He is born to a teenage mother in the cave in the side of a hill, and he's placed in a cow trough. What? No palace? No red carpet? He grows up and becomes a carpenter? No fast-track education at Harvard? No cushy desk job? A carpenter cutting down trees, sawing the wood into planks, and then building things? And when he began his ministry, he slept on the sides of the road, no national headquarters, no executive suites. Who would you find washing dirty feet, touching a stinking leper, having dinner with a traitor, welcoming a dirty woman, and ultimately dying the worst death on known to man called crucifixion? May I announce the creator of the universe. He said, "What kind of university were you in?" I found out afterwards it was a Jewish university. Okay? And they clapped when I talked about Christ. It was amazing, and God worked in that meeting. "But I will seek that which was lost." Everybody say the word lost. "And bring again that which was driven away. And will bind up that which was broken. And will strengthen that which was sick." Religious leaders don't like that. They want to have the banker in the church. Now, don't misunderstand me. Bankers can get saved. Doctors can get saved. But how many believe Jesus is for everybody? Everybody. No respecter of persons. Oh, am I glad that God says that I love sinners. Was it a gimmick that he touched a stinking leper and had compassion on a dirty woman? Was that a gimmick? Now remember, a gimmick is something that is not serious or of a real value. I want you to know the biggest valuable thing that ever happened was that God left heaven and came down to earth. How many believe if you look in history and read all the history books you want, if you're a reading person and you go in a library and you've read every book in the whole library and read all the history books, may I tell you the greatest account that ever happened is God became flesh and dwelt among us. There's no greater historical event because it's real and he can come in the hearts of people all around this area this week. And it's getting souls out of hell. Is that serious? Is it a gimmick to get souls out of hell and to go in front of them? Because how are we going to get them out of hell if we don't go in front of them? How shall they call upon him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So God broke my heart. I was doing revival meetings for 6 years. And one guy said, I invited 40 people to this meeting and not one of them came. And I thought, God, how can I go to the sinners? And little did I ever dream God was going to call me through sports because I hated sports growing up. I was always the last one to be picked for a team. How many know what that's like? And that's why I play by myself. Nobody wants to play with me. But the truth is, I was praying, and I had a bad back, and a chiropractor suggested, why don't you just play volleyball or something? You need to get in shape. So I started playing the guy one-on-one because a chiropractor told me to. And I started feeling a little better when I first got out there. I was like this. And then I went to church meetings, and I said to the people in the church, would somebody play me in volleyball after the service just to help my back problem? It was so bad after a six-hour drive, I had to have two men help me out of the car into the church at the age of 28. And literally praying all along, God, how can I get to the sinner where they are and not wait for the woman at the well to come to the padded pew, but to go to them where they're at? And I didn't know how God was going to answer this. But I know one thing. I would have never dreamed in a million years that it would be sports. I hated sports growing up. As a matter of fact, to this day, I don't even know who half the people are playing out there. I just played a famous Pittsburgh Steeler last week that caught the touchdown football at the last 8 seconds of the Super Bowl. His name is my own name, Santonio Holmes. Now I know the name Holmes. But he played me last week. But I don't follow sports, and that's the funniest thing about this. So I started playing, and the first time I said to a church, would somebody play me in the gym for my back? 9 men came over to the gym. I said, I don't want all of you to just wait to play me, so why don't all of you just go to the other side of the net? They all went over there, and I started playing 9 people. I had no idea I'd ever even come close to beating them. I just thought it would give me a better workout for my back. Well, 300 times I did that in churches where people would gather and play me to help my back problem. Then after 300 games, I started feeling better, and God began to remove the back pain. And then I thought, wow, the Globetrotters do an exhibition, but they don't give the gospel. Maybe I could call up a school where I'm going for a revival and go in among those people and play a girls' team, boys' team, and teachers' team. So the first school I called up, he said, I'm booking you because I want to see you beat them. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I called a second school up. I said, this guy's having me. You don't want to miss out. And he booked me. 9 schools booked me that first week. And now it's up to almost 6,000 schools. God can do miracles when we want to carry on his mission. My heart just broke at Noah's Ark. I went to Noah's Ark, not at Mount Ararat in Turkey. But they built the Noah's Ark replica there in Kentucky. So I was there, my heart broke, and I was praying with all my heart. God, I saw a little design of how God's timing was perfect when he brought the animals to the ark. And how many believe God can still bring animals to the ark? And I said, God, you've brought strength to me to play now. I crossed my 20,000th game last week. And God has given me the ability to go into gymnasiums and do what is humanly impossible because he brought the animals to me. And I said, God, I want to go the rest of my life doing this as long as you allow me to, if I'll walk with you and let you bring the animals. And then I go up to a statue of Noah. that moved and talked, and his eyes were looking right at it. It looked so real, I could have died. And Noah was telling me all that I just prayed. And Noah's talking to me about what I just prayed, about how God can bring the animals and we need to walk by faith and God can do all of this stuff. And I'm listening to that. And I'm praying, oh, God, there's got to be some way that I could meet whoever built this boat. Now, I mean, not Noah from years ago. And a guy I called yesterday said, I know the guy who founded it and built it, and I want to see if we can get him to see what you're doing in schools. I mean, God puts things together in ways we can't. But I know one thing. Jesus is a friend of sinners. And that's what's kept Tom going. I mean, Tom will tell you he didn't do 1 ounce of work for this whole thing, right? No, but Tom kept pounding the nails, right? Building the boat. And now we've got some assemblies. And God brought the assemblies. Oh, all I'm saying is this. Well, do we need to do this? Is it really that serious? Gimmicks aren't serious. One soul is serious. I use this illustration about a grandfather that was walking on the ocean with his grandson. And sand dollars were there, and he picked them up and threw them in the water. And he picked another one up, threw it in the water, and the grandson looked up and said, with all the thousands of them all around here, what difference is it going to make to throw a few of them in the water? And the grandfather said, for those I threw in the water, it made all the difference in the world. And how many believe one soul is worth it to God? And by the way, you were all one soul that heard the gospel once. And how many believe this area needs it? How many believe that? Now listen to this. Gimmick is something that only attracts attention for no value. Well, if getting people out of a place that is described as accursed, anguish, blackness, bottomless pit, burned, condemned, cursing, damnation, darkness, eternal fire, everlasting fire, flame, fearful, forever, furnace, indignation, judgment, perish, everlasting punishment, pit, suffer, torment, tribulation, unquenchable, wailing, weeping, wrath, lake of fire, horrible tempest, a place of sorrows and filthiness, a place where a breath is a living flame, where one begs for one drop of water. How many would say a hearty amen? Getting people out of that kind of place is not a gimmick. God help us. God help us. Now, if your pastor just happened to be, you know, you were driving along and he was following you somewhere and you hit this sinkhole, and you slammed your brakes and missed going off the sinkhole that much, and you know your pastor's coming behind you, going his normal 90 miles an hour, would you get out there and say, preacher, it might be wise to slow down? Or, stop! How many would do that? Raise your hands. 25 people would not do that. This church needs revival. Would it be a gimmick to scream, stop? Tom, don't you have other duties? Why are you going in the schools? You know, you could be out there painting the church. I don't know if anybody said that to him. I'm just making it up. But if you did say it to him, take it from God. But gimmick. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Wow. Wow. I'm seeing so many broken hearts out there. A boy's in homeroom and he's crying his heart out. And the teacher said, what happened? He said, last night I was so drunk. He said, I took the hot poker and stuck it in the fireplace and got it red hot. And he's in homeroom reading a text from the emergency room. My little baby 2-year-old brother is now in the emergency room with 60 holes in his body, thanks to me. Helping people away from this kind of lifestyle is not a gimmick. It's serious. A woman was standing on the side of an Alabama highway trying to endure a harsh rainstorm. Her car had broken down, and she desperately needed a ride. Soaking wet, she decided to flag down the next car. A young white man stopped to help her. The man took her to safety, helped her to get assistance, and put her in a taxi cab. Now, this is the most incredible thing happened as a result of this. And let me tell you the rest of the story once I get back to it. Listen to this. Soaking wet, she flagged down the next car, and a young man stopped to help her. The man took her to safety and helped her to get assistance and put her in the taxi cab. 7 days went by, and a knock came on the man's door, and to his surprise, a giant TV was delivered to his home. A special note was attached, and it read, "Thank you so much for assisting me on the highway the other night. The rain drenched not only my clothes, but also my spirits. Then you came along, and because of you, I was able to make it to my dying husband's bedside just before he passed away. God bless you for helping me unselfishly at the right time." Wow. But when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying, "He was gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner." And Jesus said unto him, "This day is salvation come to this house." And how many want, again, really want to see that happen this week? This is what it's about. So I close with this. Will God burn in our hearts this week to where we say, "Cool idea. Nice thought. Can't wait to see you play volleyball." Or, "We've got to reach some people. I must work the works of him that sent me. I must be zealous about this. I must do this. Thank God he used Tom to open the door." And I want God to open my heart to burn in me. So I wrote this in closing. In walks Joe. In walks Joe into the church, and Joe's mind is very confused because he's searching for something. As Joe walks into the front door of the church, he's hoping to find what he's searching for. He hopes to find happy people who will love him because he's going through a horrible situation. Instead, he's greeted by a disturbing-looking usher. And instead of greeting him, the guest, with a smile, he says, "Please hide your cigarette box." Joe embarrassingly hides them in his pocket. Then the usher leads him to the pew, and Joe is eyeballed by many people in the service. Joe feels very uncomfortable because people seem to be upset that he's even there. The young people over on the other side of the church on the back pew snicker as they write notes to each other about Joe. The young people of the church are in a clique because they all go to the Christian school together. Joe turns around as a couple are being seated next to him, and to Joe's surprise, the couple looks quite angry because Joe is in their usual spot. The song service begins and is followed by the preaching time. Joe tries to hear the sermon, but is disturbed over and over by giggling of people sitting next to him. The invitation is given by the preacher to receive Christ as Savior, but Joe doesn't want to go in front of that crowd because of the fear of everybody mocking him. So as Joe leaves the service, he shakes the pastor's hand, and the pastor says, "Great to have you visiting today. Sure hope you'll come back again. We would welcome you again." And as Joe gets in the car, he thinks to himself, "I'm more welcome in the bar room than in the church. I'll stay there." It's not a gimmick. To go to hungry hearts all across America, where last year more teenagers tried to kill themselves, actually did kill themselves. Imagine this. More teenagers died in 1 year than the whole Middle East war in 1 year. Father, I pray that you'd help us to be concerned, not just because it's a cool idea, or not just because it's in the schedule, but God, I pray that the Holy Spirit would take what I preach today, that's a somber thought, And Lord, I could have been more humorous. I could have made it light. But Lord, there's nothing light about all these people dying. This country is crying out because of 17 that were shot. May I tell you, over 40,000 teenagers died last year. Over 40,000. And should we be broken about the 17? Yes. But we don't know about the 40,000 in the news. Because the Budweiser people want to stay in business. Because the Hollywood singers want to stay, Hollywood stars want to stay in business in their filthy movies, corrupting our generation. And they want to make their money, so we don't know as a country that there's this much death going on. Because what they bring to these young people is not satisfying them. Now let me ask you a question. How many believe Jesus is needed in Williamsport? Raise your hands real high. Now let me ask you a second question. How many would agree that being a friend of sinners is not a cheap gimmick? Raise your hands. Now let me ask you a third question. Will you right now ask God to burn in your heart? Because I'm going to pray that God uses the service this morning, the service tonight, Monday night and Tuesday night, and then the rally Wednesday night. Would you ask God to help you to be committed to all of this week and let God speak to you? Now, let me ask you this. How many would say, I'm so grateful for my own salvation that God would leave heaven and come down to earth for my soul? And it's very precious that God would do that for me. And I want to be more thankful for it, because what we're thankful for, we tend to share, don't we? And how many would say, I want to be more thankful for my own salvation so it will burn in my heart to give it to somebody else? Would you raise your hand? It's my prayer that that will happen. Pastor will come and close in prayer and ask God to work in the services. And I thank God for your attention today. And Lord, again, as I pray and close, I pray you'll help me to die to self and not preach what is popular, but preach what you want said, even though it causes sometimes a holy hush in a service when I'd rather hear a loud amen somewhere. Help me to be willing to preach what we need to hear, not what is liked, but God, help me to preach what is necessary for us to have you speak to us. I pray that I would die to self in Jesus' name. Pastor will close.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Let me have your attention, everyone.